everybody. Welcome to a special episode of the Speakeasy Podcast. This is our pre-New York Comic Con 2018. I don't know why. 2017. I've already just flown into the future. I also said this was a special episode as if this is an 80s say no to drugs episode of the Speakeasy.
We're going to learn how to report child abuse or something.
Sorry, none of those things. This is simply where we get hype for the next con in our list.
New York Comic Con has a decent amount of anime and manga content. It's definitely not the main focus, but it's there. They usually have at least one pretty impressive guest. We'll talk about the one they got this year when we get into things. But, you know, it has a lot of nerd things, and anime and manga is one of them. But there's a lot of other things to talk about as well.
Yeah, I think I spend a lot less of this convention doing anime and manga things because there is simply so much to do. And lucky for us, we get to go to anime and manga focused conventions. So it's, I know that I can go someplace where that's going to be the priority and I can prioritize other things here. And also, I go here, the last few years I've been going as a pro, looking at artists, so that also kind of alters the landscape a little bit. But since we're both all around nerds, there's just...
Yeah, there's a lot to do when... I mean, once again, it's one of those cons where there are people who go all 4 days and never just leave the exhibition slash dealer's room. I feel like it's a little bit down from like the grandeur and free giveaways of a few years ago, but there's still plenty to do and get and definitely to buy.
There's certainly a lot to buy. I think now there's less free stuff, but there's a lot of raffles and ways that you can get free stuff. I feel as though they just make it slightly harder to get the free stuff. You have to dedicate yourself more. And this year, the con center, as sounds like always at this point, is under construction. They have torn down the North Pavilion, which is where the last few years Artist Alley has been, and it's a beautiful space. I really just want to get on the phone with the Javits Center and ask them, what were you thinking? This was the best part of the convention center. And that portion of the center is going to be under construction until 2021. So we're knocking that space back for a really long time. Artist Alley has been shoved into one of the basement halls, which I think is going to be terrible. I am really mentally preparing myself for it to be horrible because I did a lot of reading about where it's going to be, and that section of the convention center is half the size of where Artist Alley was, but they only allowed like 50 less artists. Not 50% less artists, 50. So
I feel like it's just going to be like this Tetris thing of like, all right, you've got to be like an L block and you are the reverse Z.
Yeah, I really think it's gonna be a horror show. It's also dark down there. There's not a lot of bathrooms. And that's another thing that the Javits did by taking out that hall. That was, I think I was tweeting about this or talking about it with somebody. There were more bathrooms in that tiny hall than the rest of the entire convention center. So how anybody's gonna be dealing with that?
Okay, there's an answer.
It's not pretty. Yeah. It's gonna be terrible. I guess I'm just going in really pessimistically this year as far as the main con center goes. And then there's a lot of outside con spaces. So we have the Hammerstein Ballroom, which everybody hates as far as I know, and continues to hate on them forever. The Hudson Mercantile, is that new this year?
I mean, if it was, I don't remember going there before. I mean, I remember Madison Square Garden. I remember the Hammerstein. And both of them are like super duper, no food past this point! And like basically either make you eat everything or throw it out before you get in there, which nobody likes. And the one that you just mentioned, the Mercantile, which if it was used last year, I do not remember going to anything over there. And there's also the New York Public Library is being used for some library stuff.
Yeah, I think a lot of the professionals and teacher-focused panels are going to be there, or some of them are going to be there. So, yeah, it's pretty spread out. The Hudson Mercantile is actually really close to the convention center, so I feel as though if they were using that previously, I feel like I would have noticed, because it's actually convenient as opposed to the other places. But it also seems like there are a lot more events this year that require an extra ticket. So a lot of events in some of these outside places, not all of them, require you to pay up extra cash for a specific event.
Yeah, I just avoided all of those, luckily. Or there were like one or two I was interested in. I was like, oh, sorry, you got enough money out of me this year. And it's not like me type moon, so I'm good.
Exactly. I didn't partake in any of them, even though some of them sounded cool, but you pay a lot for a Comic-Con badge. I'm going to take in all that allows me, and really, there's plenty to do. It's not as if, well, now I'll have nothing to do on whatever day. But the nice thing is, I guess, for some people, is that those ticketed events, you don't need a Comic-Con badge to buy a ticket to those events. So if you didn't end up getting a badge, or you weren't really interested in going to Comic-Con, you could have gone on to some of these other events.
Although I know one or two of them are already sold out. It's not like it's like, oh, well, the price of admission has guaranteed me a ticket to some of them.
Oh, right.
Especially since, depending on how lazy you are, of like, I'll just make my itinerary the night before.
They did send out a lot of email blasts to keep you informed, but it did seem as though, unlike a lot of cons that you go to, your Comic-Con has their schedule months in advance. And so when you're getting updates about events, it is sometimes hard to focus on it because it's not as imminent. Which I think can be a danger, because you also were lucky to be in these virtual ticket lines.
So this year they tried something different where for certain events and main events, certain autographs and certain exclusive items, you could register beforehand, and they took, like, a lot of times they're first come, first serve. As we mentioned last year, you could stand on the line. They beep your badge if, you know, you're the first X number of people, and then you basically have like a virtual ticket on your badge. They took some of those out, and they basically gave if you could put in your name, as long as you had a badge for that day, and possibly win a spot for those things, so you don't have to arrive to the convention 2 hours early and hope to get a spot on one of those, you know, either highly coveted panels or highly coveted autographs / merchandise items. I didn't put my name in for any merchandise, but I did put my name in for the Hiromashima signing because it came with the free sketch, which is, you know, pretty ooh-la-la. I'm not the biggest Hiromashima fan, but that's still pretty nice, so I put my name in for that. And I did one or two panels. I actually won a ticket for the Hiromashima live drawing and Q&A, and for the American Gods panel. So I don't think I would have woken up early for the American Gods panel, but I probably would have tried to get into the Hiromashima panel. So that's one day that I could stroll in leisurely.
Right. And I wonder if it's another instance of people not knowing that they were doing that. And again, you have to be thinking ahead, checking these things more than a few days before the convention starts. And I'm also curious to know how many people are going to come in this year and still not know how the main events hall works, because it really works great. I mean, it's even better that you won tickets and you don't have to go and do that, but it works really well, so hopefully most people can go and get what they want to do, because it really is not so bad just running down there, getting your badge tapped, and you got your ticket for whatever.
And anybody who didn't see that, you can still do it, because they only raffled off like a small percentage. Once again, they didn't list the numbers, So I don't know how much, but for the average person, they still can do that. It's just, it's a nice little, hey, if you noticed it, you got a chance.
And frees up some of your time. And at least makes a less stressful day out of it. Because before you're even at the con, you know that you can get into certain events. I think that's cool. I love the way they've been using badges more. And so these are now tied directly to your badge, right? I'll just, as you tap them.
I put in my name and then I won them. And it said, all right, like reconfirm your email address. And when you do this, these are going to be placed on your badge. So make sure that you just have to show up like 20 minutes beforehand to, you know, to get a good seat. But you just go up, they scan your badge, it's already on your badge, you got your ticket.
Great. Yeah, I just love the badge technology. I look forward to seeing if they've done anything new and cool with it this year. I know last year they did those kiosks where you could win stuff like badge upgrades and I forget what else, but
and like some VIP like Funko prizes and Funko Pops and some other like prizes and stuff.
Yeah, so I'm hoping they use it more, and I don't know. It'd be really cool if somehow they could figure out a way to make some sort of scanner that other booths could use in order to use your badge for other raffles or
if they had like a app that the dealers could get.
Yes.
Because that I feel like that's pretty, you know, just some RF scanning app that like taps into the network. That's what I would do.
That's cool. Yes, I like that a lot. But yeah, we don't actually know what they'll be doing with it this year. Now that I'm thinking about it, that hall where Artist Alley, because I'm just never going to get off this, that is out, where they're stuck now, that last year was where all the video game stuff was. So I don't know where that has migrated to.
Like, once you mentioned, like, it was only an abstract concept in your mind, but now that you mentioned the Artist Alley, all I could think is, oh, Artist Alley is going to be in the video game dungeon.
Yes, that's where it is.
Man, yeah, no, that place, I expect to see, oh, look, there's a cave troll, there's a Balrog. Now you can see if a Balrog has wings or not. Oh, okay. That's very interesting. Yeah, that is going to be an interesting Artist Alley.
Interesting. Yeah, that's a nice way of putting it.
Look, the last time we recorded, you gave it a euphemism when we were talking about Sakura Quest for fucked up. And now I'm doing it.
So, the big manga guest this year is Hiro Mashima, and he's actually come to New York Comic Con before, or was it when it was still...
He was at one of these
New York Anime Fest. I can't remember. He was definitely here before, a while ago.
And, yeah, as always, Hiro Mashima is like, to me and you, he's like, oh, Hiro Mashima, that's a thing. But he has a huge fandom. I mean, Fairy Tail may be a very thirsty fandom, but it is also a very prevalent one.
Thirsty people are very dedicated.
Yeah, because I was at my parents' house, and I was talking to my sister, and we were just talking about she's also going to Comic-Con. If you listened to our podcast last year, she went last year. She hadn't gone for a while, and she's going again this year, and she was like, oh, that guy. And I'm like, no, he's actually like a big fandom. None of us super care, but it's like Tokyo Ghoul. Once again, it's one of those things that none of us in our little circle care about, but it has a really strong fandom.
Yeah. Yes, it does. And I mean, I feel as though a lot of the big super popular mangaka guests are not ever going to be, unless it's Oda, like, I don't know if any of them would ever really be super thrilling to me. We had the Naruto guy last year, which was cool. I mean, it's not as if I'm not interested in what these creators have to say. It just doesn't get me, like, crazy excited.
I always feel like when you hear about, like, Obata from Death Note or the Naruto guy, it's like, the fandom clicks in our head of, that is a big fandom. But Fairy Tail, and Hiro Mashima, I always feel like, there's always a second when my brain has to, like, remind me, no, that's a big fandom. And I'm like, oh, yeah, I guess it is.
And I guess you'll get to see for yourself now, Al, at that panel. And I feel like Kodansha is bringing him over. I really am kind of surprised that Viz isn't... Maybe they just don't want to compete, or... Because last year, Naruto, that was Viz. And I feel like in the last couple of years, it's been more from the Viz side. So, I don't know why. I just wondered what they're...
Actually, Viz was. Is kind of bringing over somebody, now that I think about it. They're bringing over the author and artist of that Zelda manga.
Oh, okay. They were also on the West Coast, so I didn't realize they were also bringing them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so, I mean, Viz isn't not bringing anybody. It's just... And I mean, Zelda isn't a huge thing, but I don't... I feel...
Zelda is a huge thing.
I mean, it isn't that Zelda isn't a huge thing. It's that the Zelda manga is not, you know, the same league of fandom as Zelda proper. If they had, like... The creator of the Zelda games, that would be a completely different animal of, you know, we would not be having the same discussion. I mean, so Viz is bringing somebody. It's just not like the first point of wowie zowie.
Those ladies are really talented, and I'm really excited for their original fantasy manga that is coming out from them very soon. I wonder if they'll have any of that to share.
Once again, I feel like Viz is bringing... Those ladies are pretty cool. So it's not like they're not bringing anybody. I just... Yeah, I understand. It's a matter of scope. Was there anything else anime and manga-wise that you were...
Not really. Since I'm only able to attend on Saturday and Sunday, I didn't see a whole lot on the schedule for those 2 days. So I'm not sure I'll be attending any anime or manga events. Obviously, I'll be stopping by the booths and seeing what everybody's doing on the floor, but actual event-wise.
Yeah, no, so. No, that makes sense. I just try to cover a little more anime and manga stuff just... I feel like, even if we're no longer official press, I still feel like I want to cover that stuff, especially since I feel like a lot of the anime community has kind of ignored it, and they're still being catered to, so I kind of just want to cover that. There is an interesting, like, classic sci-fi manga panel talking about Akira Ghost in the Shell and Battle Angel Alita and stuff like that. So I was probably going to attend that one if I can. And there is one that's just about legally streaming anime. It's like anime every anytime or something like that. I think I might have a conflict, but if I can't get into what I wanted to, I'll probably go check that one out as well.
You're going to go to the weekly Shonen Jump panel?
I've, like... Isn't that one, like, yeah, legendarily cursed?
Yeah, you don't actually go to that.
Yeah, I mean, like, part of me... I actually almost put that on my schedule that I was making on my app, and then, like... Woo! That panel is always a shit show!
I mean, I don't know if it's actually a bad panel, but I feel as though it has this reputation of just being screaming 14-year-olds.
Although, like, I don't... Yeah, I should mention it. It's not like the staff that Viz sends there is, like, drunkenly insulting everybody or, like, talking about not anime and manga. They run a good panel. It is the audience that is apparently the monsters.
I don't know. I think the person who usually runs that panel, though, is also kind of, like, overzealous. I just feel like it's not an adults panel is I guess how I'm trying to... I feel as though, even though I am not the most mature person in the world, I feel like the panel comes off like maybe I don't belong here. How's that?
Yeah, no. I mean, once again, there's a million and one things to do at Comic-Con. I think I can avoid going to the Shonen Jump panel.
And those were really my only options on Saturday, I think. And then there's the Hiramashima event.
So what are you doing? Not anime and manga wise, that isn't you being a pro.
There's a lot of really cool people of color in comics panels throughout the convention. And there happens to be a lot on Saturday. Black Heroes Matter. The future is LGBTQ. Let's talk about our problematic faves, marginalized fans and the media. The Invisible, Latinx. So lots of really cool stuff with like a bunch of different creators and either, you know, talking about their experience or talking about comics in general. So I'm really looking forward to hopefully getting, I mean, those panels are very, very popular. So I'm hoping that I can at least get myself into one or two of them. Kicking Ass, Taking Names, Women of Color in Comics. You know, yeah, just like a bunch of really neat stuff like that. Image, I have a couple of Image panels that I hopefully can go to. Because I haven't been buying as many comics monthly anymore, I feel as though I don't always know what's upcoming or what's out and good right this minute. So both of those panels will help me sort of figure out what I'm reading next.
Did you see the William Shakespeare's Star Wars The Force Doth Awaken panel?
No.
It's supposed to be like a live performance of it. So
that sounds really cool and unique.
Yeah, no. So, I've read the original three books. I didn't read the prequel books. I think they did the prequels as well, but the friggin' Star Wars prequels.
Don't worry about that, Al.
But The Force Doth Awaken sounds really cool. So, yeah, I don't know how hard that one's going to be getting into.
It's Star Wars. It's going to be hard.
yeah. I feel like that one is one I'm probably going to have to, like, show up at least an hour and a half early if I want even a chance of getting in. But I think I'm going to try to get into that one just because it sounds really cool. But that one seemed just super fun. And I mean, you know, Shakespearean Star Wars, but live on stage. That seems like, you know, just worth going just for the experience.
Yeah, and Shakespeare, real Shakespeare is better when it's performed. So in theory, though, that book or that concept will be better if it is performed. Another panel I'm really interested in is Telling Stories with Patrick Rothfuss, Jonathan Colton, and friends. So, interesting, there's another Patrick Rothfuss event over the weekend that was a separate ticket. So, this one is not that. This is at the convention center, and he is the writer of The Name of the Wind, the King Killer Chronicle fantasy novels, and he's working on the third and final one. So, I love those books, and I'd love to see him talk. Now, it might be a difficult panel to get into, so if I don't see him, luckily, you know, I live in New York City, so hopefully he'll do just some sort of author event at some other point. But I really, really would like to go to that.
Thursday, I might, depending on just how lazy I am or how much, like, I'm just running around the dealer's room. But there is, in the New York Public Library space, a French comics panel. I just feel like I just might want to go just because those panels always just seem so underattended. And now that it's like all the way out in the one of the satellite ones, it does seem like interesting to go to. But on the other hand, we'll see how much gravitational force the dealer's room has. Because, I mean, that is usually what we do on Thursday when we attend Thursday. So I'll see how it goes.
There's another European comics panel on Saturday, which is the one that they've done the last few years, which is PW Presents European Comics Invasion, and they have a different set of European comic creators every year. They have different ones, and they're just talking about their experience in their home countries of what comics are like there, what the kind of the industry is like, how that influences what they do and whatnot. It's always really interesting. Again, sometimes a little sparsely attended, but I'm glad that they continue to do them because they're really, really fascinating. And you find out about all these cool European comics creators that are at the con that you didn't know were there.
Once again, this is one of those, since I feel like anything that's outside the main convention center, I'm always like, we'll see how I feel. Or I might actually just stay for that one. But there's a Pacific Rim Uprising one at Madison Square Garden. And since the Peter Capaldi thing is just before that, I might go to the Peter Capaldi one just because, you know, as his, like, goodbye, because this was his last season of Doctor Who. He basically leaves at the end of this year with the Christmas special. So, and he was a pretty good doctor, and I feel like he seems like a cool dude, or at least he seems pretty nice to the fandom to see him go out. And I mean, people generally like him, as he's a pretty good British actor in general. So I might go see that and then just stay in there for the Pacific Rim panel to see what they have to say about the new Pacific Rim movie.
All right. I'm looking at the map again, and I can't picture, like, look, if you look at this Artist Alley map, doesn't it look good? You're like, oh, that seems like space.
Look,
I can't, it's like, I can't parse it in my brain how this is working.
Just everybody, what you don't see is just everybody has like an elementary school student sized desk.
Okay, yeah, that's probably what it is. Or they're like in bunk beds. I can't figure it out, you guys. I am definitely going to be spending a good amount of time on the show floor. There is a Uniqlo booth, which I'm very curious to see. They're doing exclusive merch for the con. There's all the usual suspects, of course, will be there, but that's new. That's a first time, so I'm very excited about them. And, you know, even if you say that you're not going to spend a lot of time on the show floor, it's a lie. It's a lie for everyone. You think that you're not going to because it's not that important to you. And it's not. It's not important. It's not that important. But you will be sucked in.
See, my general strategy at this point is there's eventually going to be something that I want to get into at New York Comic Con that I just can't get into. And that's usually when I like, all right, since I can't get into this, I'm not just going to wait another hour for the next panel I'm going to go to. Why don't I just, you know, spend like 45 minutes, half an hour wandering around the show floor?
But it's easy to lose time.
Oh, well, yeah.
In the show floor is what I mean, is that I will say, oh, well, I only need to go here for this small period of time. I will go. And then you get in there, and then all of a sudden, all this time has gotten away from you. Looks like Square Enix is on the show floor, so I don't know if video games are now put back into the area, but I think they were there last year because they have all the merch.
Yeah, no, but they usually just have, like, the really expensive, like, Final Fantasy and statue stuff. I think their video game, there's, like, no video game stuff there. It's all merch. I think if they have video games, because I think they had some video game, but it was in the game section.
Well, there isn't a game section.
Ah.
Well, anymore. So that's why it was kind of unclear to me what was happening. So on the show floor, there's also bankrupt Toys R Us. Maybe they shouldn't have spent their money on this booth. And Amazon all over the place.
Is that their new service, Amazon?
It might as well. Do you know that Amazon has this thing now that you can get? And I don't know if it comes with the Echo or I don't know, whatever. But it's a barcode scanner that you use in your house. And so when you're, oh, I'm almost out of this thing, you just scan the barcode and it goes onto your Amazon shopping list, into your cart. It's like, oh my God, Amazon.
It's the utopia, dystopia of the future.
Yeah, really. There's also, so if you look at the New York Comic Con show floor map, only a few places that are really big have a name. Otherwise, they just have a number and you have to go look them up. So most of the time, you're like, okay, I understand why this one has a big one. Funko, DirecTV, because, I don't know, whatever. Bait, that's the name of a place. Is that an important brand that I am not aware of?
It's obviously you go there and you want to get something and then you spend your money there and you're like, ah, why did I waste my money on Bait when I should have wasted it here?
I guess so, because that's the only, like, that's the one. Oh, wait, I'm sorry. Also, Hot Flips. Not aware of their, that name tells me nothing. Or is it not? No, Hot. Okay, yeah, it is Hot. Hot Flips. Not sure what they sell there.
The Nerd Pancakes Cake.
No, because we've been tricked before by places that have food names. That should be illegal. Okay? You should not be able to have a food-titled store if you do not sell that food. So, okay. So, yeah, there isn't a video games pulled-out section. Mm-hmm. So
I do feel like part of that was, like, the VR games section. And I feel like the VR revolution, as it were, did not catch on like people had hoped it would. So I wonder if that has something to do with it.
That's a good point. I have no idea. We'll definitely report back about that because I'm very curious. Well, it sounds like Obviously, we have very full schedules, but we're not attending a heck of a lot outside of the convention, although you have some Madison Square Garden plans.
Like I said, they're like, maybes, question mark.
I get it. I am looking forward to Comic-Con. I'm not attending as much as I normally would be, but I'm sure we'll get as much Comic-Con time in. And, you know, normally I spend a really huge amount of time in Artist Alley, so I might not be doing that. So maybe I'll have time for all the other things that I normally wouldn't do.
We'll see how much it's a cattle car down there.
Yes. So look forward to our next episode of The Speakeasy, where we'll talk about our experience at Comic-Con. And if you want to follow us and our time there, you can follow us on Twitter. I'm NarutakiRT.
And I'm HisuiRT.
Or you can email us at reversethieves@gmail.com.